Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." In Matthew 12 and verse 30 is recorded the words of Christ, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Dear listener, there are two directions that a person can go. One will lead to destruction. The other will lead to life. And strange as it may be, most will take that broad way that destroys. That's what Jesus said. Most will go the way of destruction. And each one must make his individual choice who he's going to serve and the direction that he's going to go. He cannot decide to just stand still and remain as he is. No, he has to make a decision. The nature of right and wrong insists that we're going in one direction or the other. We are either for Christ, or he says we're against him. Now, in the Old Testament, the two ways that people can go are exemplified by the ways of a man named Cain and one named Seth and their descendants. After the murder of Abel, a curse was placed upon Cain, which was, at least he thought, greater than he could bear. Cain had a son whose name was Enoch. Now, that's not the famous Enoch who walked with God. But his son was named Enoch, and Cain's son built a city. The descendants of Cain are listed in the last part of Genesis chapter 4. And friend, they were a very enterprising, highly skilled, highly trained, accomplished people. But they were an ungodly race. Of Cain we read, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he, being dead, yet speaketh," Hebrews 11 and verse 4. You see, Abel acted by faith, and of course that implies that God had given instructions as to what should be done, and Abel did as he was instructed. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so by his obedient faith, Abel went the right direction, and he was declared righteous. On the other hand, there was his brother, Cain. He became wroth, he became jealous, and he later murdered his brother. And he tried to deny the guilt when he was confronted with it. The Lord asked him, "Where is thy brother Abel?" And Cain answered in a manner to pretend innocence and ignorance, and he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Well, of course, we are our brother's keeper. But Cain, he tried to escape responsibility for his evil deed. He was going the wrong direction. The sins of Cain and his descendants are numerous. You see, he was guilty of disobeying God's instructions regarding the sacrifice. He was guilty of will worship, that is, doing things according to his own will, rather than God's will. He was guilty of jealousy and envy, and obviously an uncontrolled anger, even to the point of murder, lying and hypocrisy and attempting to escape his personal responsibility. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us that he was wicked and his works were evil. In Jude verse 11, it warns false teachers and states, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." Friend, the way of Cain is a way of woe. It's a way of sin. It's the way of death. And the descendants of Cain continued his iniquity in their own lives. No, they were not guilty of Cain's sin. They were guilty of their own sins. But doubtless they were highly influenced by their wicked ancestor, and they suffered many of the consequences of his evil deeds. We read about one of them named Lamech. He was the first polygamist, a man of personal vengeance, a man also who was guilty of murder. Cain's descendants, they were not savages. They were not uncivilized people. They were not cavemen. They were people of exceptional capacity. They had ability. They had skills. There was one named Jubal. He was a musician. And there was another named Jabal, who was a herdsman. Tubal-Cain was a worker of copper and of iron. Some of them were farmers. Some were builders of cities. Oh, there were other accomplishments by Cain and those who descended from him. Yes, they were a rather highly developed, highly skilled civilization. But a wicked group of people they were. And herein, friend, is a lesson for those of us in our own modern and scientific, sophisticated age. Civilization is not a substitute for proper religious faith. High standards of living in a material world, that doesn't replace the necessity of obedience to Almighty God, our Creator. Sometimes we hear people extolling the value of education, as if that was going to be the solution of all of man's ills. They urge people to develop their skills, to train themselves, have equipment, build schools, build universities, so that you'll have a higher standard of living. And it accomplishes somewhat on the material side, in the material side of life. But such things have a value. But that's not the end of the whole matter, and we need to understand that. Now, our nation, we're so fortunate, we're so blessed, and the nation has been blessed. It's been blessed more than any nation that has ever existed. It has the highest standard of living of any nation in the world, and the literacy rates, they're higher than in most any places in the world. We have stressed education, and have stressed it to the point that some have made learning their God. But all this has not made our people more moral. It's not made them more peace-loving. It's not made them more honest. It's not made them more dependable. In fact, isn't it true that as a nation, the emphasis has been placed upon these material things, and the lives of people have generally become more corrupt? Sin abounds. Evil is adored. And we have a generation that calls evil good and good evil. Now, that's not anti-education. We're not anti-education. We should strive to be an educated people. But when we stress education and the learning of the affairs of this life and of this world to the neglect of the spiritual, religious, and moral training, we're only building a nation of civilized animals that have highly developed skills. And those kind of people are more dangerous than anybody. By education, we only doctor the symptoms of man's degeneracy. We never really deal with his real problem. And his real problem is sin. His real problem is a failure to see his responsibility unto God and to keep God's commandments and live God's way. And our nation is suffering from a barrage of misplaced priorities. Now, the development of civilization is proper. It can be, and usually is, a blessing. But it can also be a curse when that development is not guided and controlled by faith and morals. Skill is a blessing when it's seasoned, when it's directed, But skill can be a curse when left without guidance, and when considered to be the solution of all of man's needs and the supplier of his wants and his goals. Scripture and history are crying out unto us, dear people. We need to learn this truth before disaster strikes us and those who will follow after us. Do you know the reason nuclear energy is a danger and a threat to mankind? It's because of the lack of morality among people. That power can be and is of great benefit to mankind when channeled and controlled properly. But because of the void of faith and the void of ethics that God would have us to follow, we constantly face the danger of blowing our world completely to pieces. Yes, we live in a world of ever-increasing pressures to suppress the importance of strong moral convictions. And what are you doing to emphasize moral convictions? Are you following them? Are you teaching them to your young? Yes, we live in a world where morality has certainly stooped to a low ebb. Learning that is sought outside of the framework of religious discipline, and a discipline that is taught from God, why, that becomes a spiritual cancer in so many of our universities and learning people. They're nothing in the world but a plague upon humanity. They have diseased their minds with educational processes that are the destruction of our welfare. A dominant theme among the nation's so-called scholars is to ridicule the reality of God, destroy faith in the hearts and the minds of the young, trying to replace God on his throne with their own ideas, having the universal edict to, well, just do your own thing. If it feels good, do it. You don't have any restrictions. There's no right, no wrong, no absolute truth. Those people are destroying humanity. No person who is truly educated, now you listen to me, if he's ignorant of God's will, he's not truly educated. He may think he is, but he's not. And those who follow those who don't have God's will in their mind, they're going to be led into the ditch. Regardless of how much is accomplished by those of the worldly and intellectual pursuits, friend, without the moral guidance of God, we only are leading to our own destruction. And it's not just to our destruction. Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about the nation or the descendants that are coming after you. What sort of heritage are we going to leave them? We may provide for them a great material standard of living. But friend, if they're only highly educated, highly developed animals, they're not going to be the kind of people that will enjoy heaven. They're not going to be the kind of people that will lead the nation in the right direction. They are kind of people that are going the way of Cain, and that's the way of destruction. That's the way of death. We would plead with people far and wide. Pay attention to faith in God and God's teachings and follow those things. That's the way that God would have us to live. And there is no better way for man to live than that. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.